And as we begin in the 12th chapter, the book of Isaiah, in the first verse, and it reads, "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord. Call upon his name. Declare his doings among the people. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." Praise God. And I'll continue to read in Psalm 110, verse 7, "He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head." I begin to think about, in praying, of the waters of the Spirit, and how when you read in the Word of God, how they are compared in many ways to many words and brought out for many different reasons. And as you begin to read in these things, there's one central purpose behind it all, and that is to draw. Say, draw. To draw from it. I read from that, and it blessed my soul to consider how often each day that I draw from the waters of Christ. How many times that I draw from the waters of the Spirit, that I don't go too often without returning to the well, that I don't go often without returning to the brook. When you read about it in terms of it being a brook, I think about how that it's made reference as to being a pilgrim, as being one that's coming as a stranger. And I remember once in my life that I was not familiar with the waters of the Spirit. Brian, I wasn't familiar with it, with all of it. And it wasn't something that was an everyday instance for me. But all that I knew when I came to church and was around people that was involved with the Lord is that they had something within them that I was able to bear witness to. Something that I was able to draw out of. Say draw again. Something that I was able to draw out of, Brent. Not something that I had to fight for to get something out of you. It was something that was in abundance of you, that I was able to come and partake with you in something. And in the day that we live in, I hope that what is in me is enough that it draws people to Christ. But as I begin to examine myself and pray every day, just say, Lord, help me to draw closer to you. But when I pray that prayer, it makes me consider, how am I drawing closer to God? What is it that I'm grabbing hold of to pull to the presence of God? What is it that I'm making my mark towards to grab a hold of to say that, God, I'm marching closer more to you and letting go of this world? And I begin to read about the waters of the Spirit. And when you think about water in this world, there's in times that water saves your life. Without that water in your body, you could not live. We were built that way. And a lot of us think that, you know, without our bone structure, that we would not be able to stand. But you could have the bones all that you want to, but without the water inside of you, you would not be able to live. How many of us also know that that blood that's in you also plays a part in your life? I feel like that a lot of times that without the Spirit of God in me, without the blood of Christ applied in my life, I'm just bones. I'm just dead walking in this world. And I'm not drawing from that which brings life unto me. And I begin to wonder, Lord, what is it in me that makes me turn away or makes me get dry? It's but when I begin to draw upon ground that is dry. When I go to a well that has no water in it. Or in other words, when I dwell in places in the world, doing things in the world, living out in sin, I can't get anything out there that's going to flow from the depths of me. I begin to draw from Christ. When I begin to partake of His Spirit, out of the belly shall flow. So when I begin to realize that if I'm partaking in Christ and I draw from the presence of God, you know what will begin to flow from me out of the depths of me? The presence of God. So what I'm drawing from all week, what I'm living in, what my life source is every day of my life, is what flows out of me. If I'm not drawing from something that's going to help me to live, you can draw from water, yes, but I'm talking about living water. Something that will help you not to thirst. Something that will keep you in your life, that you're not up and that you're down and that you're unstable. Something that when you put it inside of you, and when you process that which you put in, that which God places down in you, the gifts and callings of God, those great things, everything that God made is good. And when you draw from the good things of God, you cannot fail. But when I draw of everything else that's out in this world, you're bound for failure because it's not living. It's not living. I continue to put in poison, I will not live. If I poison my life with sin, I will not live. I will fall down. I will fail. I will come short. I cannot think that just because I know God's Word, that I don't need to go to the well. I have to come back to the well. I have to come back and live so that I can have life and it more abundantly. It's one thing just to exist, but church, I'm tired of existing. I'm tired of just being bones. I'm tired of just coming in and going out, coming in and going out. I want to draw from something that's going to give me life, that I go out, that they may draw from me something that'll help them live. It's one thing that they draw from me something that gives them a bad attitude on life, but let them draw something from me that gives them life in that more abundantly. Let them draw something from me about the joy of the Lord. If I'm not drawn from the joy of the Lord, they will not find that in you. If I have no faith in my life, they cannot draw faith from you. If I have no joy and no peace in my life, and I expect people to know that I'm a Christian, it does not work that way. You have to have something living in the depths of you so that when they see you, you have something you want to talk about. You have something that's flowing out of you. You don't have to try to turn the switch on. It's already coming out. There's life that's flowing. It's not something that you have to battle with. When you draw from the living waters of God, it gives you life. It's not something that's going to tear you down. That's why I feel like in the 23rd Psalm that makes reference to that. Make my cup to run over. I continue to draw from the presence of God. He would keep pouring into you until you could not contain. I could not come in and praise God enough before I would wear out. But He would still pour into me. If I could have enough faith to believe in my life more than just the small things, higher than just what I could see, He would keep pouring into my life. But just because I don't think it's realistic, I won't grab hold of it. But see, God put it in His Word that it's the substance of things hoped for. evidence of things not seen. And he put those things together in a compounded sentence with the word "and," because it's both of those together. It's not just one, it's both of those. It's something that I hope for, and it's something that I can't see. I hope for people to be saved, and I can't see them getting saved sometimes, but I believe that God's able to do it. I can't see people being delivered because I see the state that they're in and how sin-sick that they are, but I'm faithful to believe that God's able to move for them. And your faith, they can draw from. You can give them something that'll encourage them. You read in the Word of God about a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You know why? Because it cures those that are low. Somebody that's chipper comes in and doesn't need anybody to help get them happy, and they come in and encourage everybody else. That's not easy. That's a calling in itself. In the, what do we want to call this? Online, social, networking world that we live in, nobody wants to talk to anybody anymore. I'll hit you up on Facebook later. There's no face-to-face anymore. I'll just see what they wrote about it later. Or they can just text me. We're not bold enough to even talk to each other anymore. I'll just ask them about how they feel about it later. I would hope that when I have a kid one day, that I reach out to them and have the enough spirit in me that they would be able to draw from me to say, "I'm here for you. No matter what it is that you're going through, that I love you," and that we're able to pray through anything. We got to get past everything that's going to hinder us from being able to be a vessel that people can draw out of. Right? People have got to be able to see that there's living water in you. People can't even see the container, because we've got it covered up. You know, you read in the Word of God about how that we hide the light. Hide the witness of God. Hide what we possess inside of us. Roston, we know that we're saved and we're proud of it, and it's easy to be happy about it when we're in church, right? But sometimes it's hard because we get around people that don't care about being Christians. Don't care about your lifestyle. Don't care about what you have to say. So it's easy for me to put the veil on what I believe in. But it's in those times when it's hard. That's when Christ said that if they persecuted you, they persecuted me. That means you'd be able to shine your light all the time because they persecuted Christ first. So always let people have something in you that they can draw from. What's more refreshing on a hot day than cold water? Go ahead. And how selfless is it of somebody to let them have that, just to give that up? Nobody wants to give up what they have in them. Nobody wants to give up their time. I don't want to give up my time to go and try to help somebody. That's like putting the pool cover on your living water. Nobody can get in there and enjoy what wonderful parts that you have about you, what God's called you in, if we put the cover on. Nobody can draw from how refreshing that you are. What a wonderful, anointed singer they are. They can preach the house down. They have such a wonderful knowledge and understanding of the Word of God, it'd blow you away. Oh, really? Absolutely. Can I get them to come out and witness to somebody that's really in need? Oh, well, no, they're too busy. Put the pool cover on. Can't get nobody to help anybody. We got to be in a place where we're selfless. The love of God makes us selfless. Love of God makes us realize that if I have something in me that's living, I don't care how big or small that it is, if I'm able to help somebody, let me give them something that'll help them. Let me give them something that'll refresh them. And then when we're in church and we have something that's able to help people in the moment, it's not about going through just because I want you to entertain me. It's not entertainment. It's about working that which is in you. About stirring that up in you. Have you ever seen a pond that sat without movement for about a year? All the bacteria All the things that try to get in it. You ever seen one where dead animals have been thrown in it? Come on now. And the stench that comes from that. If we don't begin to stir the living waters of us as a body, people are not going to be able to draw. Listen, there's churches all over this. We'll just start with county. We'll just start there. We'll start small. There's churches all over this county where people just getting saved, first of all. This is the number. This is the number. There's nothing they can draw from. It's dry ground. The wells are dry. Nobody's putting anything in. Nobody's making any effort. Come on. And you read in the Word of God about how we can examine ourselves in so many ways about what could it possibly be. All that I can do is look at myself and say, God, what is it in me that needs to be worked on? And He's showing me that people can only be helped with what you do by as much as what you draw from me. I could sit there and read all that I want to, sing every song that I know, but without the living water in me, I won't help anybody. I won't help anything. It's not going to do any good to do that. But you've got plenty of places that will try it. Plenty of places that will say, if you recite this, come on now. If you recite these three or four lines, then you've got it. There's got to be something living in you that's more than just three or four lines that you profess. It's something that when you commit unto it, you'll begin to know that it's there. I know when I'm alive. I know when I'm down. There's no secret to that to me. I'm of sound mind and I know when things need to be different. I know when my water's stagnant. And I can try to pretend that I can go on through church and go through the motions, but I'm not helping anybody. I'm polluting. Are we going to go this far? You know we're going to. We're polluting what we're trying to have people draw from when we live in sin and try to go through and go and have church anyway. We got to come in and have living water so that when we pour in together what everybody puts in together, when they draw from it, it's something that they will live by. Just imagine if everybody came in with their own bottle of water and it was your sole responsibility to take care of that all week long, and we all poured in ours together at the same time, and somebody... And we told them that when they came in, if they drew from that they would never thirst again. How many of us would be able to trust in the other's water to be able to say that, well, I don't know if they would be able to not thirst again because I don't know about my brother's water. Come on now. Do we trust each other? The world we live in teaches us not to. The world we live in teaches us not to love each other. Trust nobody. Have nobody's back. Have no friendship. The Word of God talks about loving your neighbor as yourself. And I still believe in those values. I still believe in trusting in my brethren. I still believe that if you stand up and say, I believe that God's placed something on my heart, that I need to back and support what God would speak through them. Come on now. Come on now. I have to be able to learn not to draw just from one bottle or another bottle of water, but to be able to draw together. That's what unity's all about. When we get real about it, when we really get right down to it, if it was really about that level of accountability and everybody had to pour something in, you'd see less of us coming. You'd see less of us coming. And it'd make me even question, Lord, is mine even good enough? But the great thing about it is that through the advocate that we're able to draw from His living water. We're able to draw from His Spirit. And we're able to come in and know through certainty by what He gives that what we offer unto others for them to come to, that they'll be able to live. But we never have that in us, so we never recommend it to anybody else. Because, oh man, did you not know about the week that I had? Good grief. I don't know how I'm going to make it for the next week. My life is so terrible. Where is my faith? What am I drawing from? I'm drawing from depression. The bank of depression. I'm drawing from the bank of afflictions. I'm drawing from all the wrong things. Power of life and death is in my tongue. If I begin to speak those things on me, I might as well put it on and say, that's what I am. I might as well say, that's what I am. I'm anointed. I'm blessed. I'm a child of God. I'm faithful to believe in Him. I'm not the only one that should believe that. Come on now. I'm not the only one that should believe that. Am I? Come on now. We beat ourselves so often. Quit partaking of anything else that would bring death unto you. Let go of the things that would not bring life unto you. I want to read it. I don't want to talk about it. I want to read it. Praise the Lord. Appreciate your attention. In John chapter 4, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. And saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. Referring to our natural water, that outward well. So we'll hold right there. I lived on the outward well for many years. Drew from the outward well for a long time. How many of us lived on the outward well? How many of us even nowadays will put God to the side and still try to go out there and see if that water will still help us? Well, maybe somebody has better advice than what the Lord spoke to me through His Word. Well, maybe somebody will be able to help me out through this financial burden. Surely something will come to pass, because the Lord's surely not moved for me. There went our faith up there somewhere that way. Gone. We're just calling it like it is today. We need more faith today. Come on. Say faith. We need more faith. We need to speak more faith into our lives. We need to build. Say build. We need to build upon our faith. It's one thing for me just to believe that I'm going to make it through the day, but I want to make it through the day blessed. I want to make it through the day without any little whispers coming by my way to try to tear me down. Come on now. I want to make it through the day without anything trying to speak to my mind to tear me away from my focus in God. I want to be able to start speaking those things that are not as though they are. I want to begin to operate in what God had intended for me to be instead of just working with that measure. I want to build on. I want to add on to it. You don't live in a house that's built on a measure. You live on a house that's complete. You live on a house that's been built upon. I want to live where the Spirit of God is dwelling in me, that I have enough faith to believe that God's able to do the work. God's able to do the work. God's able. Come on, somebody's got to believe that tonight. I feel that somebody needs to believe that tonight. Speak that to yourself. God's able to do the work. Praise the Lord. Got to quit drawing out from everything out in this world. It's going to dry you up. It's going to dry you up. And used to, maybe we lived in a world where everybody maybe looked the same, that we were able to hide it much easier then. The doors, we're not in that day anymore. When you're dried out, it shows. When you're dried out, your loved ones begin to wonder what the matter is with you. Because they know that you are one that has living water in you. And they don't want to just certainly say and call you out for being dry. And I don't want to call anybody out for being dry. Because there's times in my life where I feel like that I'm getting towards the bottom of the bottle. But we have to learn not to draw from anything but God. It's the only thing, Derek, that's going to last. It's the only thing. It's the only thing, Julie. When everything else feels like it's failed, it's the only thing that's going to last. When you call out to God in prayer, only thing that's going to last. Drawing from our prayers, believing in God, and allowing the Spirit to flow in our life. It's the only thing that's going to live. Everything else in your life, I don't want to be the one to be the bearer of bad news, but everything else in your life is going to fall away. Everything else in your life that you hold of worth to you, it's only going to last for a little bit. It's only going to last for a season. And if we begin to learn that which is living, that which is the most important to us, Word of God talks about seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. If I'm seeking Him first, all these other things will be added. Those things according to which I would need, not that I would want. There's plenty of times that God tries to dry out the things we don't need, but we keep pouring water on it. Come on now. How many of us are familiar with weeding the garden? But I like living that way. Joe, I love that lifestyle. Love it. God knows what you're doing. God knows and sees exactly the way that you're living. And you cannot live in sin and put that into your body and expect to live a fruitful and godly life. It just does not work. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. Say never. Never. Be careful when you say never. But obviously Christ was not concerned when He said it. Never thirst. That's huge. Praise the Lord. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up. Say up. What does that mean to you, springing up? It means it's coming out, right? It's coming out. It's coming out. And that praise, that which is deep inside you is coming up. That worship, that gift of prophecy, that ministering of the Word of God, it's coming up. That singing, that playing the music, it's coming up. That ability to be able to do what God has called you to do, we're generalizing, it's coming up. If you are putting in an abundance of what God is pouring out into you, it'll come up. And if it never does, you're not drawing enough for it to come out of you. Go ahead and try to sing a dry song. See how effective that is, because it's not. I would rather not sing if it was going to be dry in me. I'd rather just get down and pray, solve the problem first, and maybe a song would be meaningful. Praise the Lord. What I'm trying to get across to you is that there's a difference in just thinking that we're living and knowing that we are. There's a difference in thinking that we're safe from all the harm in this world, and knowing that no matter what we go through, that God's hand is with us. Because, yeah, when we first get saved, we think that we've got the almighty protection and there's nothing that could come to destroy us. But there's going to be things that come to test you. There's going to be things that come to test how alive that you are. And you get in that place in your life where you think, do I really believe what I professed? God, do I really trust in you? And then the waters that's living in you will either come forth, or that which is not there will prove true one way or the other. And that's why we see people that say that I've got it, and then they're gone and we don't see it, because they didn't get something that is going to sustain them. People that have food can go, you know, I think you can live up to 2 weeks on water without food, right? That's how much more abundant that water is for your life. You must have it. It is essential for you. The point is, the Spirit of God is essential for you. Without it, we shall surely fall. And I wish that I could get up here and draw smiley faces and pat everybody on the back and tell you how wonderful you are. But we got to look at the wells we're drawing from. We got to remind ourselves of when we get out there in this world. Please hear what I say right now. When we get outside these doors and Monday comes, ask yourself, what am I doing right now? Ask yourself, what am I doing with my life? Everything that you're doing, is it something that's making you move into sin? If it's that, then you're drawing from the wrong well. Come on, please hear what I'm saying. Please hear what I'm saying. If we're out there living that lifestyle, we're drawn from something that's not going to keep us. We're drawn from something that's going to kill us spiritually. And God wants us to draw from something that's better than that. Something that's greater than that. And something that once you have it, you won't go back and do those other things. Said that once you draw from this water, you'll never thirst again. Be springing up from you. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Right? Let me read these last two parts and we'll finish. Once you inherit that living water inside of you, you begin to read in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, 16, it says, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple. And He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. You read in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, and it says, and He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. If you are indeed tonight, God is here for you. And all that you have to do is begin to come. Well, maybe it's not the right time. Well, I wanted to read this other part for you. In Zechariah, and it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, and half of them toward the hinder sea. And in summer and in winter it shall be. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And in that day shall there be one Lord, and His name one. When you read that in verse 8, that's pretty much establishing that the rivers are continual and in all seasons. Praise God. I don't have to wait. If I'm in need, I can always come to the river. I can always come and draw when I'm in need of God. So if I'm in need of something to refresh my spirit tonight, if you are in need of something to improve your lifestyle, nobody ever talks about that. We say those things that are polite and easy for people to hear. And you get churches that are multitudes huge because they preach easy stuff. They gather where you don't preach and touch on sin too hard. They scatter when the Word of God proves true. You try it and see. Try it and see. Go somewhere where it's great and grand, and you begin to testify about changing your life and not living in sin, and see how much they like you after that. We went a few places and tried it, and it went from smiles and shaking of hands to they maybe partially enjoyed it. It's amazing to me how the Word of God, and you read it, and people that go to church know this. Know that it cuts like a two-edged sword, and know that it's going to hurt when it comes. And yet they throw such a fit. Get upset at the messenger. Come on now. Get so upset about what God's trying to bring forth. All for the improvement and establishment of our life. All for just trying to bring us forward so that we be ready for the coming. Praise God. But anyway, for our lifestyle, for our well-being, for our sound mind. Say sound mind. I want a sound mind when I go throughout my week. And I want my mind to be in such a strong place that I've not fall to any weakness in my flesh. All week long. I could go Monday through Thursday and be great. But what about when that Friday comes and something comes up and I'm weak? Then I've not been going to the well long enough. I've not been drawing more. I need to draw more frequently. Come on now. If we're waiting to get in the doors to begin to pray, you need to adjust your schedule. You need to write it in on your daily planner and say, today I'm going to pray to God. Today I'm going to the well. Hallelujah. Today I want to live. Say, I want to live. Today I want to live, God. I'm getting up today and no temptation overtake me, God. I'm going to overcome. That's the only way you're going to overcome, is if you have enough life in you to be able to say no. Because I found that when you're in that dried up state, it's just like a wave that's bigger than you are. You're just overtaken, pushed over. You're not rooted strong enough that you would be able to handle it. It's like the man that built his house upon the sand. He was not strongly established enough by what he built his foundation on. I hope that we preach it enough that when we get out there at some point in our life that we look back and remember. Because I know all the time that this is how it works for me, and you'll probably laugh, that when I get to a place where I want to get kind of pouty or upset or want to question God, then God puts to my remembrance something that I had already preached. You know, and I'm thinking, yes, Lord, that's what you said. Yes, God, that's what you wanted me to say. God, I'm reminded. So I'm going to draw from this night and remember, Lord, I'm not dwelling from those wells and worldly watering holes out there. I'm not going to look to my brother to try to get me picked up out there in that world with drugs, alcohol. I'm not going to succumb to temptation that tries to come my way. I'm not going to give in to my emotions to do something irrational. Come on now. People get on the pivotal point in their life of their emotions, not living enough in God. One thing goes wrong, And you've got the biggest dramatic explosion of events because they weren't stable in their godly living. And if we were drawn from the fountain of life, we would have never went through that the way that we did. That's the truth. That's the truth. We would have never said half of what we did. We would have never done half of what we did. We would have never even looked in our composure the way that we did if we had the living water within us. Because the love of God will prove true to you.